Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's our delight to have you on board with us for another Let's Face the Issues broadcast. It's our prayer that through these broadcasts each day, you'll be incentivized to speak up and be salt and light in the society in which we're now living. As we face the issues, let me remind you that we do so based on the authority of Scripture. It is not a matter of a denominational distinction or dogma. It's not a matter of the rites, rituals, rules, and regulations. It's not a matter of some political ideological bent. We face the issues based on the authority of Scripture. What would the Scripture have us say and do? Jesus said to his disciples, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then the Lord Jesus said in John 14:6, "I am truth." He further explains to us in a definitive declaratory statement about what is truth. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Thy word is truth." So, ladies and gentlemen, we need to have a central biblicist worldview. That central biblicist worldview will simply say that we believe what the Word of God says and we're willing to adhere to it and recognize God's word is truth. The Word of God in Zechariah 8:1 says, "Speak truth to every man, to every neighbor, to his neighbor." And that's what we ought to do, is speaking truth. But I recognize also that George Orwell, a number of years ago, said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak the truth." So therefore, ladies and gentlemen, we're in an era today, and if you don't believe that's the case, just watch the shenanigans, the show that's taking place in Washington today with the fake, phony, false impeachment hearings and inquiries. If you don't believe that that is the case today about truth, just look at Washington. See what Nancy Pelosi is saying. See what the other socialist, Marxist Democrats are saying. And you understand they don't understand. I believe they can't even spell the word truth. We are in a condition in America today that we need to, especially as conservatives, especially as Christians, we need to speak the truth in love. And even when we speak the truth in love, there will be those that will get a little riled up, uptight, and pointed fingers at us saying that we're just simply not loving. Ladies and gentlemen, let me announce to you that this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo with a full line of landscape and power equipment for the homeowners. It also, Tools for Time also carries hurricane preparedness equipment and hurricane cleanup equipment. It has a full line of Honda generators with a knowledgeable staff that can answer all your questions about backup power. May I say, ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. 11291 Old St. Augustine Road happens to be right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. Search out, find Old Glory, the flag flying, 165-foot flagpole. Find that flag flying right at the intersection of Old St. Augustine Road and at Old St. Augustine Road and I-295, and you'll find Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com, ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as we think about the subject today, let me remind you, you can dial 831-0917, 831-0917. If you're out of the area, you can dial 904-831-0917. That telephone call gets your call right to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can have dialogue and discussion on the issues today. I'm simply going to call today's broadcast God versus government. God versus government. If you want to reverse that, government versus God. It was in the book of Acts where the statement was made by Peter, "We ought to obey God rather than man." Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'm not advocating that there be anarchy in our society today. But so often we find bills that are put into the hopper, as I call it, the House and Senate, both in the state and national areas. And there are bills that are put into effect and put into the hopper to be voted on that are antithetical to anything that's called God's Word, and most especially antithetical to our Constitution and what we ought to have as citizens. Ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce the broadcast today by giving you a story that perhaps you've heard. Perhaps you've heard the latest news of a California situation where a Bay Area Rapid Transit organization, it's called BART, B-A-R-T, the Bay Area Rapid Transit Authority. They had one of the riders that was waiting in the train station area, and he was caught, listen, of all things, he was caught eating a breakfast sandwich. You heard it right. Listen, he was caught eating a breakfast sandwich in the public right there waiting on the train. A police officer gave him a $250 ticket. Why was this so? Because the police officer was following the policy. And the policy of California BART is, quote, let me read you their policy in relationship to this that gave them the authority for the police officer to write this man a $250 ticket for standing there and eating a breakfast sandwich. This, their policy says, enforcement of infractions such as eating and drinking inside of our paid area should not be used to prevent us from delivering on our mission to provide safe, reliable, and clean transportation, end quote. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, in the state of California, where you can urinate on the street, defecate on the streets and the sidewalks, homeless vagrants are absolutely allowed to clog the sidewalks and prevent pedestrians from passing. They can block business entrances. And even now, under the new law, with the district attorney, people are able to go in and snatch and grab merchandise, and they will not be prosecuted as long as it's not more than $1,000. And the merchants are having to tolerate that. And yet a man has written a $250 ticket for standing in the transit station and eating a breakfast sandwich. We've lost our marbles, as the little boy says. Ladies and gentlemen, this is what happened when we, the people, allow a runaway government to be in charge of our rights and our Constitution and those rights that we have in the Bill of Rights. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, we must elect godly, honest men that will lead us in our state houses and in the on the national level, at every level, whether it be in city council or the House of Representatives for the state of Florida, or the Senate for the state of Florida. It is very, very clear, ladies and gentlemen, according to the scripture, God ordained government. And his ordination of government, it is designed, and you can find this, ladies and gentlemen, at your leisure, in Romans, the 13th chapter, verses 1 through 7. The first instance of God's ordination of government was found in Genesis, the 9th chapter, where God provided for capital punishment for capital crimes. We've a far cry away from that today. But God ordained government. Government is to be God's servant, not vice versa. God's not to be the servant to government. The people are not to be the servant to the governmental leadership. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, government, according to the scripture, is not to be a dictatorship. Government's responsibility is to punish evil and to protect good. As we witness the socialist, Marxist, Democrats in Washington, we should all wake up, smell the coffee, and recognize the reality of the direction that our nation is going in today in America. In fact, let me preface the introduction in just a moment of our special guest today. Let me preface it by saying, across America, ladies and gentlemen, and perhaps you're aware of this, and perhaps you're not, most would not be, that across America today, for local municipalities, for city, state, and federal governments, we have each year, every 12 months, we introduce and put on the books rules and regulations and laws, about 250,000 new laws. We never remove any. This is why, ladies and gentlemen, in the state of New York, it is still on the books. If your dead mule is left on the sidewalk for more than 24 hours, you can be fined $3. Because we place the laws and the rules and the regulations on the books, never remove any. It's the responsibility of the citizens in our great nation today to hold our elected leaders accountable for the bills introduced and for the emergence of those new bills that will become law. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, anything that is outlandishly above and beyond the state constitution, the federal constitution, we the people should say no. Now, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to introduce to you our very special guest on Let's Face the Issues today, the Honorable Aaron Bean. Aaron Bean is a senator for the state of Florida, the 4th District. But when we talk about districts, ladies and gentlemen, don't let that confuse you. Our elected leaders are representatives for that, not only for their districts, but for the entire state. And so I'm delighted to have Senator Bean with us today on this broadcast. Senator Bean, welcome to Let's Face the Issues today.
Scott Youngbug, what a pleasure it is to be with you again. I've enjoyed listening to you for the last 10 minutes or so, and there's so many things that there's a battle going on, not only in our state halls, but federally at the city hall. Every street corner, there seems like there's a battle legislatively, and I'm just glad that you're facing the issues.
Well, it's necessary, I believe, Senator, and I am so thankful to have you, and I can say to our listening public today, I believe we are honored in the state of Florida to have men like you with the caliber of men like yourself that's representing us, that stands not just for the political agenda, but first and foremost for God and for what God's word would be pleased to have you to do. So I want our listeners to know I'm delighted that we have the privilege of having you on the air with us today. I want you to know we thank you so much for standing for truth and for honoring the Lord in your service in the state of Florida and representing District 4 and the entire state of Florida. Senator Bean, before we get into some of the bills that are in the hopper, as I call it, in the House and the Senate, some of the things that you're passionate about that I'm also passionate about. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but you might speak to this issue just as general conversation. But CARE, the Council on American Islamic Relations, have already said that they're postulating 5,200, that's 5,200 Islamic candidates for the nation. That's for city, state, and national governance. And I just read an article yesterday where they already have candidates for 30 seats in the Congress for 2020. They're looking to, and it's what's called, according to the Quran, it is called political jihad. They're looking to control our nation through the political process. Now, I know in some nations like Australia, they can come in, they can immigrate in, but they cannot run for public office. And I do know that you're familiar with the fact, I think it was 2 or 3 years in a row, we tried to get ALAC passed in Tallahassee, the American Laws for American Courts, and I think we were unsuccessful in each occasion with that. Are you concerned about what we're seeing on the horizon with these issues that are popping up like this and where we will be with people like AOC and the Squad and those that are antithetical to the Constitution and for the rule of law for the United States of America?
Well, thank you, Dr. Youngblood. You really hit on something. Of when I give talks, I talk to Rotary clubs and all kind of clubs. And when I talk about the legislature and what they do, a lot of people say, "Well, I'm really not into the legislature." And I always say, "Well, the legislature is into you, and so we need to pay attention."
Yes.
So your broadcast of paying attention to the American public and to people that are listening to you about paying attention, not only all the rules and regulations, but just what men and women are we going to elect to represent our values? And that's why every vote counts. Committing to a candidate counts. And so it's just important to stay involved. That's something we need to teach our kids. Just, you got to stay involved, or choices will be made for you if you don't participate in your government, for sure.
Well, I harp on that, and perhaps some say I harp on it too heavily on some occasions. But the Bible calls on us, as Senator, yourself, as well as each of us as individuals, as Christians, as believers, the Bible calls upon us to be salt and light. Salt and light means that we're going to be a preservative in a decaying society and in illumination in a darkened world. And I really believe that that is a mandate of the Scripture, that as Christians and as conservative Christians in particular, that we cannot afford to look over and not take very seriously. Senator Bean, we've got a number of issues that I'd like for us to address today, but one of them, there is the parental consent bill that I believe has been introduced in the House and the Senate. Tell us something about the parental consent bill, what it does, what it does not. Is it vital? Is it necessary? And how should we as the citizens respond?
Yeah, Dr. Youngblood, thanks for bringing it up. Representative or Senator Kelly Sturgeon, our good friend, Christian friend, Senator Kelly Sturgeon from Lakeland has introduced this bill. So if I were to tell you and your listeners, Dr. Youngblood, that you, a minor, had to get permission to get their ears pierced, you would say, well, that makes sense. I want to be involved if my youngster wants to get their ears pierced. That's kind of a pretty involved procedure. I want to be involved. If I were to tell you that the state of Florida says before a minor can get a tattoo, before they can get a tattoo, they've got to get their parents' permission to do so, because we know how involved getting a tattoo is. But Dr. Youngblood, if I were to tell you that a minor can go have major surgery called an abortion, they do not need parental permission in the state of Florida. So Senator Sturgeon has introduced this bill to say before a minor can get major surgery in an abortion, they should need to get their parents' permission. That's the bill. That's the bill. We've already had our first hearing. It's in the Senate, and the Democrats put 18 amendments on. All were defeated. All Democratic amendments were defeated. But the clock ran out, and we weren't able to take up the legislation. It's already been put back on. The committee hearing for health policy in 3 weeks. We'll hear it again. But the delay tactics are out, and to me, whether I can't imagine somebody supporting abortion, but even if you did, it seems to me it's very reasonable to get your to get parents' permission before their youngster has major surgery. That's what's at stake, Dr. Youngblood.
Tell me, Senator, in talking about the parental consent bill, is there a co-bill or a bill of like nature that's matching in the House?
There is. And it has already passed committee in the House and now is pending to be on the House floor when the session commences the second week of January. So it's passed all of its committees of reference in the House. It has three committees of reference in the Senate and has yet to pass it, although we did spend a full committee hearing on it. We defeated Democratic hostile amendment, but it'll be brought back up for health policy in 2 weeks.
How many committees will it still have to endure?
So it has three referenced in health policy is where it starts off with, and it goes to the judiciary. And then should it pass there, go to the Rules Committee, which is the final stop before the floor.
In your opinion, do we have enough votes to pass that bill?
We have enough votes to pass the bill, but we don't have enough votes to waive the rules. As you know, Dr. Youngblood, the Senate gives rights to the minority party. And in the Senate, even one senator can slow down legislation, and that's what's happened this past committee. All the Democrats, it was a strictly party line vote on these amendments, and so hopefully I'm hopeful that we'll have a vote on it, because the Republicans have the majority in that committee. So hopefully we can get it and get it going and get it passed, because we just think it's common sense to be involved in your child's decision whether or not to undergo that major surgery.
Yes, I am anxious to see a bill like that passed. And Senator Bean, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today with Senator Aaron Bean, representative representing the 4th District in the state of Florida. Senator Bean and I have just been talking about the parental consent bill that's now being reviewed in the committees to be on the floor, Lord willing, in January to be voted in. We need enough votes for that. And I believe, Senator Bean, if you would correct me if you feel I'm out of order, But I believe that it's time that Christians get on the telephone and call their senators and say, please do not allow that to get hung up, delayed, or bypassed in the committee meetings, that it needs to be heard on the open floor. And we need to pass that. And ladies and gentlemen, we're talking today with Senator Aaron Bean. You're free to call 831-0917 if you have questions for me or Senator Bean. Be delighted to entertain your questions or comments. Senator Bean, I know this is not in your wheelhouse necessarily, but in the House, there was a bill that was introduced last year and this year by Representative Mike Hill, District 1, State of Florida, and it's called the Heartbeat Bill. And I understand that he did not have a co-sponsor in the Senate, and nor did he get traction for it to even make committee. Do you feel that a bill like that is something that is vital or necessary or good? What is your viewpoint of that, if I may ask you?
I think it would be received in the Senate. I think the energy and resources have been put towards the bill that I've just described, the parental consent bill. And I think once the parental consent bill, should it pass, then to me that's a very bold, big step, a step that is common sense. So that in the natural progression of dialing back abortion and moving pro-life, the next step is the parental consent bill. And then I think on the horizon, should that pass, then sights will be set on the Heartbeat Bill.
I am looking forward to that. Senator, thank you so much for discussing that. There's another bill that is in the Senate now, and it is what I call the drug bill, and rightly spoken. It's I believe it's Senate Bill 1528. It's where Floridians would be allowed by law to import drugs from the state of Canada, for the nation of Canada, to lower the price of our drugs and the benefits thereof in the state of Florida. Speak to that question of that bill. Give us the pros and cons and what you're faced with in the Senate as far as any opposition or retaliation from the other side.
So I got good news, Dr. Young, but that bill passed last year under a bill passed by the federal Congress in 2003, giving states the authority to seek permission to have a different type of pipeline for their drug supply. Last year, Florida passed the law that it seeks congressional approval, well, actually from the federal government, from the FDA approval, to embark on a plan to import drugs from Canada for our public silos, including our Medicaid program, Department of Corrections, and our health departments. Dr. Youngblood, it's shocking what drugs cost here compared to elsewhere in the world, and our closest neighbor, or our neighbor to the north, Canada, is in many instances a tenth of the cost of many over prescription drugs. And so we are now negotiating with the federal government on embarking on such a plan. Individuals already have the right now to contract directly with a pharmacy in Canada, but we don't have that ability on a wholesale nature, and that's what that bill will hopefully give us that opportunity to stop the monopoly that these drug companies have on consumers in our state.
It's a little antithetical to anything that would be called fairness to our citizens, and not just for the state of Florida, but in America, when most, if not all, of these drugs that we're talking about importing back into the states from Canada are pharmaceutical, technologically developed through U.S. patents and then allowed to be shipped to Canada. Now, we're talking about with that allowing them to come back across the borders to America. I find it almost laughable if it weren't so sad that we're doing that. But you're exactly right. The drug cost, if brought across the border, northern border from Canada, is about a tenth of what we pay in our pharmacies here in America. And I find it refreshing that there's a potentiality. There's one question. I don't know if this was addressed in the legislation on that. I know in the I happen to take a blood pressure pill called Losartan, and Losartan is manufactured in America. It's manufactured in India and several other nations, and as well as China. And I find it frightening that in the past 12 months, they've discovered five different, if you please, Losartan drugs that's been manufactured in China and other nations have been found to have poisonous material in it that they've taken off the market. How do we protect ourselves? And you may or may not have an answer for this magically so, but how do we protect ourselves when we have the legal importation of drugs from India and China and Canada, et cetera, that may or may not reach the standards of the American pharmaceuticals?
Well, that's a great question, and that's what major drug companies tried to scare us with when we were debating this bill last year.
Yes.
You or your listeners may remember some of those very eerie-looking commercials that were trying to scare everybody, saying all our drugs are going to be tainted from China or from other countries, and that simply isn't the case. Right now, Dr. Youngblood, 80% of the medicines we take in America come from, have at least one ingredient that's made outside of our country. So Florida has some pretty strict standards when it comes to testing and to knowing exactly where our drugs have come from. We have agreements already in place with any country that manufactures any part of those drugs. So we're going to continue the testing should this bill go into effect to be able to have options with our drug supply. We still routinely test drugs from other countries, and with the Canada thing, that's going to continue. That's going to continue as we will continue to test. We also have the ability to go. Florida officials will have the ability to go anywhere in the world and inspect the facilities of which where these medicines are manufactured. So the safety element is there and will continue to be there. But it's just we pay too much money for our drugs. And Dr. Youngblood, here's the great news. The great news, even upon passage of this legislation, which will then seek approval by the federal government, they have to bless our plan, and once they do that, then we'll be able to embark on that program. It's going to take another year, is what we estimate. But even as we have done it, even as we're negotiating, we're already seeing drug manufacturers coming to negotiate with the state of Florida to say, I think we can sharpen our pencil. Before this goes into effect, we think we can give you a better deal now. So that's the power of economics, the power of supply and demand, and the power of knowing that there's other options coming down the pike. We've had no options. We've had to pay. They say the price, and we say, okay, medicine that you take, you may not have any other options. And so whatever price it is, you have to pay. And that's hopefully coming to an end with options and with a different opportunities to purchase elsewhere.
What you're saying is they see the proverbial handwriting on the wall, I believe, in that decision. They need to lower those prices. Senator, there are several other things that I'd love to take time to talk with you about today. We got about 30 seconds before we have a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Will you have the time to hang in there with us and let's finish up some of these other important issues? We're looking forward to that. Several of those issues that I think the people need to hear about, we're going to discuss. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to have about a 1 minute break for the top of the hour news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dial. Stay tuned for the balance of Let's Face the Issues today.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.